Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Political hitmen.
Hi, I'm Howie Silbiger, your political hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. Join me in the chat room. Go to IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Click on the orange button that says chat room, and I will be there the whole show. Last week's show really hit a nerve. I got a whole lot of calls. I got a whole lot of Facebook messages. Didn't get a whole lot of calls. Got a whole lot of Facebook messages telling me off about last week's show. I want to share some of those messages with you. I want to tell you a little bit about the feedback we got from last week's show, because I think it's important to see where the mindset of a lot of Jews are. Last week, of course, for those of you who didn't catch the show last week, I spoke about assimilation and the assimilationists that push assimilation. And I told the story about one of my assimilationist friends. We'll get to that after the break. After I tell you the feedback, after I go over the feedback with you and then tell you how people reacted to last week's show, I'd like to talk to you today about capitulation. I want to talk to you about giving up. Is there ever a time to pack it up and to give it up and to forget about it? Is there ever a time to say, enough, I don't have to deal with this anymore, I don't care, I'm not going to do this anymore and just give up? Is there ever a time for our country to do that? This is what I want to talk to you about. This is what I want to talk about this hour. I want to take a look at the situation, the Israeli situation, in regards to the Arabs, in regards to the Americans, in regards to I'm not going to touch the Israeli elections, because I think everyone's talking about the Israeli elections. We don't have to talk about the elections. But I would like to talk to you about different things happening around the world. And should Israel just give up? Should they just say, all right, enough. Enough. Enough of our people have died. Enough of our soldiers have to go out and kill people. Enough of our soldiers have to go out and be killed. We've had enough. We're through. Should Israel do that? Let's talk about that when we come back from the break. I'm Howie Stilberger. This is Political Hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. Numbers to call in North America, 301-768-4841. In Israel, 02-6500-151. We'll be right back.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations. Here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Political hitmen.
Hi, I'm Howie Silbiger, you're a political hitman. Join me in the chat room on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Just go to the website, click on that chat room button, and join me in the chat room. I'm there the entire show. You can call in. It is a talk show, and I'd like it to be a little more than me talking, so feel free to call in. The numbers to call, North America, 301-768-4841. In Israel, the number is 02-6500-151. So last week, I was talking about assimilation and the assimilationists. I like to call them the local Hellenists, the current Hellenists. When the Greeks occupied Jerusalem, there were Jews that coordinated with the Greeks to try to convert the Jews into local society, to try to get them to stop practicing Judaism. And that's pretty much what our local federations have become in North America. It's pretty much what the organized Jewish community has become in North America, with very, very few exceptions. And a lot of Jews in North America bought into this whole assimilation thing. And I told you last week about a story about one of my friends who bought into the concept of assimilation, and he's an assimilationist, and he likes being assimilated, and he enjoys his life living as a non-Jew. And, you know, if you're not Jewish, it's perfectly fine to live as a non-Jew. But as a Jew, you have responsibilities. You have responsibilities to God and responsibilities to tradition and to history. And denying those responsibilities or ignoring those responsibilities is really not the appropriate thing to do for a Jew. If you're not a Jew, then you don't have those responsibilities. But if you are a Jew, you have those responsibilities, and you should really take them seriously. So I sat down with my friend. He invited me out to coffee, and I'll just recap the story quickly for those of you who didn't hear the show last week. He invited me out to coffee, and we sat down, and he raked into me because I do many, many radio shows on assimilation and on why you should be proud to be a Jew and why Judaism is important, and it's important for Jews to recognize Judaism. And he told me I'm personally insulting him every time I do a show like that. That anytime I talk about assimilation, he takes it as a personal insult. And I told him he just felt guilty and that maybe he should consider going back to Judaism. He didn't agree with me. He called me into his house. I went in. I met with him and his wife. We sat down. They challenged me on my credentials, asking me if I was a rabbi, asking me what education I had to be able to talk about Judaism, trying to discredit me as a spokesperson for the Jewish people. Which I never claimed to be. I'm a spokesperson for myself. Everything I say on this show is not representative of anybody's opinion except for mine. Not even the radio station's opinion. It's all my opinion. And so I represent myself when I speak on the radio, when I give speeches outside of the radio, when I do a television show. I represent myself and my opinions. Now, of course, anybody listening has the right to agree with me or disagree with me. And this is why we give out the phone numbers in North America, 301-768-4841. In Israel, 02-650-0151. It is why I sit in the chat room the entire show and answer and follow the conversation in the chat room, which is just starting up right now, and answering questions in the chat room. I do that because it's my opinion, so I know my opinion better than anybody else does. So anyway, after last week's show, it was a pretty good show, and if you haven't caught it, go to IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com and just scroll back and find the archive and listen to the show, because it was a very important show and a very good show. So after last week's show, my friend called me. He says to me, "I heard your show." Now, I was kind of expecting him to have been listening. I didn't tell him I was going to do a show about him. I didn't tell him that my topic would be, I wouldn't talk the full hour about him. I didn't tell him that. But he told me, "I listened to the show." He says, "And I'm really angry at you." And I wasn't surprised. I pretty much raked him over the coals for being an assimilationist, so why would I be surprised that he was angry at me? He says, "I'm really angry at you." I said, "Why are you angry at me?" And he says, "Listen, Howie, let me be completely honest with you. Let me tell you exactly the way I feel." And I said, "All right." He said, I started listening to the show, and then I realized that you were going to be talking about me. Like within the first 20 minutes of the show, I knew that I was the topic of the show. He says, "Then you started telling the story, and I knew that you were going to tell the entire story. And you didn't use my name, and I appreciate the fact you didn't use my name," he says to me. "But," he says, "you called me an assimilationist. And I take great offense to being called an assimilationist. You called me a Hellenist. And I take great offense to being called a Hellenist. And I remained quiet for a minute or two. And then I said to him, "If you're not an assimilationist and you're not a Hellenist, what are you?" He says to me, "I am a assimilated Jew." I said to him, "All right. "Do you believe in God?" He says to me, "No." I said, "So essentially you have removed yourself from the Jewish people. You have removed yourself from the Jewish people. The main precept of Judaism, the main pillar of Judaism, the pillar that holds the whole religion up, the pillar that holds the whole people up, the entire point of Judaism is the belief in one God. Monotheism, the belief that there's a God, and that God created the world, that God gave the Jews the Torah, and that God gave the Torah, the Jews, the land of Israel. Without the belief in God, without the basic belief in God, you've removed yourself from the Jewish people." He got even more angry at me after that. He says to me, "How dare you say that? Who the heck do you think you are?" I said to him, "I think I'm Howie, and I'm entitled to my opinion." I said, "But let's look at this logically. Forget about my opinion. Let's look at this logically." I said, "Do you believe in the state of Israel?" I asked him. "Do you believe that the state of Israel should exist where it is, geographically where it is?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Why?" He says, "Because that's the historical land of the Jewish people." I said to him, "All right, what connection does the Jewish people have to the land?" He says, "Well, historically, that's where they were." I said, "Yeah, but historically, they were in Egypt too. And historically, they were in Saudi Arabia. And historically, they were in Iraq and Iran and all over the Middle East. So why this little strip of land that everyone's fighting over? Why this little strip of land that thousands and millions of people have died conquering and losing and being persecuted all for this little piece of land? What is so special about this little piece of land?" Now, he couldn't tell me that God promised this piece of land to the Jews because he just told me he didn't believe in God. So he couldn't go in that direction. So I said to him, "Why are you so hung up? Why are you so convinced that this is where the state of Israel should be?" I said, "You know, in the late 1800s, at one of the Zionist congresses, it was suggested the Jews set up their state because Theodor Herzl didn't really care where the state of Israel was, or where the Jewish state was. It wasn't called the state of Israel. That concept came later. But where the Jewish state was, his whole goal was to have a self-determination, that Jews should be controlling themselves. You see, he had covered the Dreyfus trial in France, and he realized at that time that Jews, under somebody else's rule, can always be persecuted. And he wanted to avoid further Jewish persecution. So he wrote a pamphlet called Der Judenstaat, which means the Jewish state. And in the Jewish state, in his pamphlet called the Jewish state, he didn't specify that the Jewish state was supposed to be in Israel, where it's currently located in the Middle East. He just felt that the Jews should have independence anywhere. So there were a couple of places that were looked at around the world to put the Jews before the Balfour Declaration. And one of the places was Uganda. The Jews should go to Uganda and set up in Uganda, so in Africa, in Middle Africa. Another idea was that the Jews should go to Canada, Northern Canada, and set up a state in Northern Canada. And they actually had land set up for them. The world had appropriated land in Northern Canada to set up a Jewish state. And the world also, in Guinea, they had set up a... they said they had set up a whole idea of setting up a Jewish state in Guinea. And there were a few more suggestions on where Jews should go to create a Jewish state. And this was in the 1800s. And Herzl, the founder of modern-day Zionism, was ready to accept any of them. All he cared about was having Jewish self-determination, a Jewish government running Jews. Okay, fine. When he accepted Uganda, and he tried to convince the other Jews in the Zionist Congress that Uganda was the place to go, it was the religious people who said, "No way." The religious Zionists said, "No way. The only place the Jews could go is Eretz Yisrael. And the only reason they could go to Eretz Yisrael is because God gave us that land. The only reason the state of Israel exists where it is today is because God gave us the land, and because the religious Jews, the religious Zionists, stood up and said, no, we're not going to Uganda, we're going there. What gives you the connection to the land? You couldn't answer. So he hung up the phone and he hasn't spoken to me since. Now, I don't mind that he doesn't want to talk to me. That doesn't bother me too much. I just wish that he would open his mind. I'm Howie Silver, this Political Hitman. Join me in the chat room on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Shalom, everybody. Making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Political Hitman.
Hi, I'm Howie Silberger, your political hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. Numbers to call in North America, 301-768-4841. In Israel, the number is 02-650-0151. You can join me in the chat room on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Just click on that big orange button that says chat room and join me in the chat room. I'll be in the chat room for the entire show. So my friend has not spoken to me since he hung up the phone. And I don't mind that he doesn't want to be my friend anymore. That doesn't bother me. I really couldn't care less. I don't like losing friends, but I've lost friends for stupider reasons than this. So this reason here, it's fine. He has to think about what I said. He has to think about what we spoke about, and he will come around. I'm convinced, because he keeps contacting me, and so I'm convinced that he's going to come around. I got another message on Facebook regarding the show last week. And the second person also railed into me saying, how dare I call the federations in North America assimilationists and Hellenists? And could I give examples about what federations do that that make them Hellenists and assimilationists? And I said, and I answered immediately, yes, I can. Listen to the show next week, and I will give you examples. And so one of the major things that the federations do that make them Hellenists and assimilationists, although they hate me saying this, is that they have a concept of secular pluralism. And so what this concept means is that they will focus their activities, and they will focus all their resources on trying to encourage intermarried couples to rejoin the Jewish community, not to convert, but to just join the Jewish community, to say that we have more Jews in our Jewish community. That's where their resources go. Instead of putting their resources towards stopping the assimilation process and stopping the process of intermarriage, it's more of an acceptance thing. And this is where they become Hellenists, because the second you accept assimilation as part of you, the second you say, all right, you intermarried, no problem, come in, we accept you, we'll accept you as a Jew, the second you do that, you've lost the battle against assimilation, because then what's the point in fighting it? If you accept it, you accept it. And silence to me has always been acceptance, so I've never been silent about this, and it drives federations crazy. Because I talk about this a lot, and you know, when someone gets bothered about something you talk about, it just means that you hit a raw nerve, and they feel a little guilty about what they're doing, and I kind of like when people feel guilty about doing bad things to the community. I kind of like when people stop to think about what they're doing, and then maybe one or two people, you're not going to change the masses, but maybe one or two people might change their minds. I've been attacked personally. I've been blackballed. I've been blacklisted. Everything's happened to me in the community, And it doesn't really bother me all. It doesn't really bother me because I've always stood up for years, 22 years. I've been on the radio 22 years. I've been saying the same thing about assimilation and about how the community should not be assimilated and how the community should be standing up and the organized community should be standing up and should be a shining example of what Judaism could be. And 22 years I've been raked over the coals for this. I get to a point where you say, is it time to give up? Do you just capitulate and say, all right, fine. The masses are saying that my argument is illegitimate. The masses are saying that I shouldn't be saying this. The masses are saying that I'm an idiot, I'm an outcast, and I should not be on the radio. I should not be listened to by anybody. The masses are saying this, assuming that the masses are. I don't think they really are, but assuming the masses are saying stuff like that. Should I just give up? Should I just throw in the towel, cancel the shows, and fade off into obscurity? I could do that. I mean, that would be easy. But would that really be a service to anybody, including myself? Would it be a service to the community? For me, and I do these shows. I don't charge for these shows. I do these shows for free. And to me, the idea of doing the show for free is essentially that if I put out an idea over the air and it gets one or two people thinking, and gets one or two people to reconsider their positions on politics, on assimilation, on Judaism in general, then I've accomplished my goal. Then all the thousands of hours that I put into doing radio over the years is worth it. If one or two people decide that they've changed their mind, or they look at something a little differently, or they consider something a little more Jewish, then my goal is accomplished. Because my goal is quite simple. I mean, I wear it on my sleeve. I don't hide away from my goal. My goal is to publicize, to make Judaism palatable to the masses. This is what my goal is. And to make politics palatable to the masses, and to make Israel palatable to the masses. This is my goal. And so I look at Israel, and I look at what's going on campus across North America, and I look at all the hatred when it comes to Israel. And I'm thinking, is it time for Israel to give up? Is it time for Israel to bend to the pressure? Israel is not exactly what they were in the past. Israel used to be a very, very strong country. And they have retreated into being a somewhat weak country, bowing to the wills of the terrorists, bowing to the wills of the Americans, bowing to the wills of anybody who wants to criticize her, afraid to stand up for herself. Israel was never like that before. Israel has always been a country. We don't negotiate with terrorists. We don't bow to anybody. We stand for ourselves. But what happens is you have a government, and this government has been in power way too long. And what happens when you're in power too long? You become complacent. You become comfortable in the position. And Israel has become a prosperous nation. But when you become a prosperous nation, you don't want to fight anymore. But you've become prosperous, but your enemies haven't. So they still want to fight, but you don't want to fight anymore. So you say, okay, give them land, give them whatever they want. Just tell them to shut up. I have to continue making money. That's the attitude. I mean, it's not a good attitude, but that's the attitude. And that's a problem. And the attitude is a problem. And so terror attacks happen over and over again. Look, just a couple of minutes ago, a 15-year-old girl was stabbed in Jerusalem. She was taken to the hospital with a deep stab wound to her neck and hands. Thank God she'll be okay. Now, she said that an Arab man came from behind her and started attacking her with his knife while she was on her way to school. This happened just a few minutes ago. Now, will the world condemn this attack on a 15-year-old girl? Absolutely not. Will the Israeli government do anything? Try to find the attacker I don't know if the attacker was found or not, but would the Israeli government do anything? I'm not so sure. And that's the problem. For every terror attack against a Jew in Israel, for every time a Jew on campus in North America is attacked, the retaliation should be double. People should be arrested. People should be thrown out of the country. Expel them from the country. On campus, Jews should be fighting back, but they don't. They're afraid. And fear is the death of any nation. Any nation that quivers in fear when being attacked is a doomed nation. And any student who doesn't stand up for themselves, who takes off their kippahs because they don't want to be identified as a Jew on campus because maybe someone will say something about Israel or come and attack them. It's a sad, scary situation. And it's happening time and time again in North America, and it's encouraged by the federations. I tell the story. I like to tell the story because it's a perfect example of what I'm talking about. When Jewish pro-Israeli speakers, doesn't have to be Jewish, but pro-Israeli speakers get up on campus to speak, they get shouted down by the Arabs' protests to shut down the event. They come in, they disrupt the event. They stand in the front chanting. They stand in the back chanting. They're disruptive. And the Jewish community says nothing. It's just accepted that, you know, you can't bring Jewish speakers to campuses. Rutgers University has the Jewish community has stopped doing public events. Now they just do events in their Hillel offices. It's scary. Ryerson University in Canada, the same thing. They just do events in their Hillel offices. They don't do events, campus-wide events, because anytime they try to do that, they get shut down by the Arabs. But at Concordia University, two Jews decided to get up and disrupt a Arab event that was anti-Israel, an anti-Israel Arab event. And two Jewish guys walked in with signs saying Am Yisrael Chai, holding up, you know, the people of Israel live, holding Israeli flags. And they disrupted the event for 20 minutes. And they were universally condemned by every Jewish organization on campus, plus the Federation. So you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. It's the most amazing thing in the world. And you're damned by the Jews in North America. I'm telling you, it's the second week in a row I'm telling you this. North American Jewry is falling apart and will disappear. It's very sad. I hope that the ones who remain will move to Israel, at least maintain some of their Judaism. Anyway, number to call, North America, 301-768-4841, in Israel, 0265-00155. I'm Howie Silverberg. This is Jewish Political History.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Bentekoen. Each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
Political hitman.
So we're going to assist Political Hitman here on Israel News Talk Radio. Join me in the chat room. Go to IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Click on that orange button that says chat room. I'm there for the entire show. Or you could call in. That'd be preferable. The number to call in North America is 301-768-4841. In Israel, 0265-00151. And I'd love to talk to you. So, We've taken a look at this, and I've asked a question: should Israel just capitulate? Should we just give up fighting for Israel? Should, you know, you look around the world, and the world hates Israel. The BDS movement is gaining steam everywhere. And the BDS's movement, by the way, it's so deceptive. And this is what drives me crazy about BDS, the Boycott, Divestment, Sanction movement. It is just so deceptive. The founder of BDS, Omar Barghouti, and you'll notice that that a lot of terrorist names are Barghouti. It's one big family, and they're a bunch of jihadi terrorists. And Omar Barghouti is the intellectual one. He's the one who went to university, so he's the intellectual one. And he founded this BDS movement. And he clearly stated, there's a YouTube video, look it up, YouTube video that clearly states that he was sitting at a conference, and he said, no Palestinian, except for a sellout Palestinian, would ever accept Israel, a Jewish state, anywhere near a Palestinian state within the land of Palestine. No Palestinian, except for a sellout Palestinian, would ever accept a Jewish state within the borders of Palestine. Now, if you take a look at how they border Palestine, it's basically the state of Israel. So essentially, he's saying no two-state solution, no one-state solution. The only solution is Palestine. So what do you do with the Jews that are there? Well, of course, they're never going to say it, but you annihilate them. That's the only thing you can do with them. They're not going to move, so you got to kill them. And this is what the BDS movement stands for. And watching all these so-called liberals, enlightened, progressive people joining the BDS movement, it makes me laugh in a certain sense, and kind of makes me sad in a different sense. But you see, there are millions of people who are now supporting BDS. The country is passing resolutions against Israel all the time. The UN has been anti-Israel from the get-go. Is there a point in continuing to defend Israel? Should we continue doing this, putting ourselves at risk, putting our lives on the line, sometimes defending Israel? Is it fair to ask our 18-year-olds to go to the front lines and to fight to defend the country? Do we continue doing this? A lot of people have told me no. They've told me it's time for Israel to go. Of course, these are progressive, so-called progressive people, because the progression of Jewish hatred has to continue, and Jewish self-determination is not a good thing in their mind. The jealousy of the nations that the Jewish people were able to take a desert and make it thrive, the jealousy of a nation of the world that the Jewish people, as small as they are, have been able to create a miracle in the state of Israel, have been able to make the desert bloom, have been able to create a GDP that is the envy of other nations that size. The jealousy of the world causes anti-Jewism. Think about this for a second and consider this. God gave the Jews the Bible, the Torah. God gave the Jews the Torah. The Torah is the Jewish Bible. And the Jews have been following this Bible since God gave it to them for 3,000 years. Now, how about this? And think about this, because this is very important. The Christians had their Bible written about 500, 600 years after the death of Jesus. The Christian Bible came into being. And the Christians said that this was the new covenant from God. That's why it's called the New Testament. That the Jews had the old covenant from God, and this replaces the old covenant. But the Christians had a problem. The problem is there were still tons of people who were following the Old Testament. So the old covenant was still being followed, and now they had a new covenant. And how do you justify and legitimize your new covenant when people are still following the old one? You can't say, I've replaced it, if there are still people using the old one. So suddenly, the Christians had a dilemma. And the only way to resolve that dilemma was to either convert the people who were following the old dogma or kill the people following the old dogma. So that's why you had inquisitions and crusades and all the Christian persecution of the Jewish people over the years. Because the Christian mission was to destroy the people following the original testament so that the New Testament could take over. Because the New Testament could never really have full legitimacy in the minds of Christian leaders, in the minds of any thinker. How could you have a legitimate testament when people are still following the Old Testament? Which is why after the First Vatican Reform, the Christians adopted the Old Testament too. So now they could say that both testaments are one Bible, and therefore they kind of eliminated that problem. That's when they stopped persecuting, killing Jews. When they eliminated that problem, and now they merged the two Bibles together and said, all right, this is one Bible. We have the Old Testament and New Testament. We follow them both, and therefore we don't have that conflict now that the Jews are following the old one and we have a new one and no one's recognizing the new one. So now we recognize the old one, and the old and the new, they're all the same. So the Jews who are still practicing the old one are actually practicing the new one too, and we just have to convert them and get them to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. So this was the concept. So about 800, 900 years later, Muhammad creates Islam, and now there's a third testament that comes into being, the Quran. That's the third testament that comes into being. And now what do? You have another testament. Now it's a new covenant with God. Now the other two covenants are kind of pushed away. And now you have a new covenant with God. And now you got to get rid of the other two people, the other two groups that follow the other covenants, because this one's superior, supreme. It's a new one, a new deal. And so that's when the Muslims started killing everybody. The jihads, the holy wars, and all the Muslim crusades that went to kill the Christians and kill the Jews to make the Quran supreme. So as long as this jealousy exists, you're not going to have peace between the nations. As long as this jealousy exists, Israel's never going to be living in peace. As long as this jealousy exists, the world is never going to accept Israel as a nation. And so do we keep fighting for it? Of course we do. Of course we do. You know why? Because we have to fight for the truth. Because we have to fight for legitimacy and for what is right. That's why. We have to say too bad to the world. You're jealous too damn bad. We built this. This is ours. It was given to us. It was given to us by God. It was given to us by the United Nations. It was given to us by God, the British, the United Nations. They all gave it to us. The land was given to us. The land belongs to the Jews. Legally, international law says the land belongs to the Jews. Religiously, the land belongs to the Jews. And there should be no debate about this. And there should be no question in anybody's mind, any moral person's mind, who the land belongs to and if the people of Israel and the land of Israel should be protected. There should be no question regarding that. And anybody who questions that has to really rethink their position. And any Jew who supports the BDS movement and anybody who supports that movement has to back up a second, take a look at the big picture and understand that the BDS movement is a movement trying to implode Israel from the inside out. They couldn't destroy Israel from the outside in, so now they're trying to destroy Israel from the inside out. And it has to understand that the goal of the BDS movement, although their literature states that their goal is human rights for the Palestinians, but that's not really their goal. Their goal is the destruction of the state of Israel. And we have to keep repeating this, and we have to keep telling people this, and people have to start realizing that this anti-Israel movement that has spread across the world is not due to Israel's apartheid state or Israel is a Nazi state or whatever other quotation marks you want to put around vulgar terms. But it's jealousy of the world that Israel is prosperous and that the Jews are prosperous and have their own country and are successful in their own country. And until we realize that this is the reality of the situation, until we realize that, like siblings who are jealous of each other, Sometimes that jealousy lasts a really long time. And sometimes it gets really, really nasty. And sometimes you have to get really, really nasty to solve that problem. Now, I said I wasn't going to talk about the Israeli elections, but I really hope that a new government comes in that's a strong government that will stand up and fight for the Jewish nation and fight for the people and protect their citizens and make Israel a strong country again. Snuff cowering. We don't have to sit in the corner anymore. We're Jews. We're proud. Keep your kippahs on your head. Keep your Magen David on and be a proud Jew. Don't be a Jew stifling in the corner. Menachem Begin said it right. He's not a Jew with trembling knees. We shouldn't be either. I'm Howie Silver, this political hitman on Israel News Talk Radio. I want to thank you for joining me this week. I want to invite you to join me again next week because we're on every Wednesday here on Israel News Talk Radio. Of course, you could join me in the chat room during the show. You could call into the show. And you can find me on Facebook. Just look me up. Howie Silberger, add me on Facebook. I post plenty of great things. I will see you next week.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.